The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house. This is the second Sunday in Lent. Our Lord teaches us in today's gospel about being persistent. Sunday school and Bible classes today focus on Zacchaeus, who ought to be the patron saint, not of vertically challenged people, but of swindlers. Come and find out more. Wednesday Lenten service, we continue to focus on the humanity of Jesus with Behold the Man series. This week the focus is a God who can be beaten. Worship is at 7:15, supper at 6:30. Sign up back in the narthex for supper if you would please. Confession and absolution continues each Saturday. That's offered from 11 to noon, and if that's not a convenient time for you, just talk to me and we'll set up a time that is convenient. Seminarian Van Dievender is not here this morning because he's on break. We'll be today and next week also. 2 weeks from today, March the 31st, Pastor David and Deaconess Luz Maria Ernst plan to be here. That's a big deal. It is a short notice trip, but we're going to be have the privilege of having them here with us on that Sunday. He will preach and talk about the mission in Venezuela. You won't want to miss that. That's 2 weeks from now. Also that afternoon, March the 31st, the Concordia University a cappella choir will be singing at the seminary, and we'll have a caravan over there from here. I've never heard another choir quite like this one. I think it'll be worth your time and encourage you to attend. Sign up for that also in the narthex. Group photos for our new church directory will be taken next Sunday after church. That'll be like elders, council, LWML, Sunday school, lawn care. So if you're part of one of those groups, your leader should be contacting you. Youth group, we meet today at 2 p.m. Do let me know if you plan to be there so we can make plans accordingly. LWML will meet Tuesday evening, which means Bells are meeting Thursday of this week. Nope, not right. Isn't that what the bulletin said? So the bulletin was wrong. Bells meet as usual on Tuesday. Ignore what I just said. Like I know what's going on around here. Any other announcements that need to be made? Oh, do sign up for photo directory appointments back in, with Holly after the service. Any other announcements? LWML's not meeting this week. LWML's at 6:30, but Bells will still meet. At 7. Got it. Got it. Any other prayer requests this morning? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Oh. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as our Lord, who is persistent always, comes to us in his word and his supper. the Divine Service, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart. Confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
You may kneel or sit for confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Well, God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this second Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's houses to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you've heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Psalm 74. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed. Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. How long, O Lord, is the enemy to revile your name forever? You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. Have regard for the covenant. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and will now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. The epistle is from Philippians chapters 3 and 4. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.' Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is from Luke chapter 13, today's gospel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. It seems an appropriate day to tell you a true story about St. Patrick, unlike many of the untrue stories that you hear about him. This one has nothing to do with green or shamrocks or Guinness beer. When St. Patrick was 16 years old, his house was invaded. He was carried off as a captive, and he was sold into slavery. For 6 years, he was a slave. After 6 years, he finally found a way to escape. But on St. Patrick's mind were those captors of his who were not Christians, though he was. And so St. Patrick found a way to go back to them, to speak to them about Jesus. They resisted. They despised what he was saying. Not only they, the people all around. 12 times his life was on the line. They weren't sure whether he would live or die. God preserved him. And by the end of Patrick's life, almost all of Ireland had become Christian, thanks to God's grace using St. Patrick's evangelistic fervor. Patrick was persistent. So is Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus is walking through Perea. For those of you who like geography, Perea is the area east of the Jordan, what's the country of Jordan today. It was ruled by Herod the Tetrarch. This would be the Herod who put John the Baptizer to death, son of the guy who tried to murder Jesus when he was about the age of my grandsons. In other words, this Herod would have absolutely no qualms about quashing an upstart itinerant preacher from Nazareth. This may be why Jesus calls Herod a fox. Foxes are predators. They don't care what they kill. They're only worried about their own preservation, kind of like Herod. Which brings us to the gospel. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Maybe these Pharisees were different from most of the other Pharisees. Maybe these Pharisees really cared about Jesus' well-being, but I doubt it. I think they were trying to get rid of Jesus. They were threatening him, saying, "Herod's going to kill you. You better go, better go." What does Jesus do? And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" That's a Hebrew way of saying, "I'm going to be persistent. What I did yesterday, I will do today, and I will continue to do tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that." He is telling Herod, "Go ahead, try to kill me. It's not going to stop me. I will continue expelling the servants of Satan from people who are possessed. I will continue healing the sick. I will continue doing my Father's work. I will continue going to the cross to pay for the sins of my people. And on the third day, I will finish my course, come back to life so that my people can come back to life." Jesus, even when his life is threatened, is persistent. He can be persistent, or he must be persistent, because he cares about you. He can be persistent because he knows that his heavenly Father will not allow him to die until he has finished his course, until he has finished everything his Father sent him to do. Dear Christian, you will not be killed. You will not die until you have finished what your heavenly Father has put you here on earth to do. Trust, your heavenly Father is in complete control. It's obvious when they conspired to kill Jesus. All the people who think they're in control on this earth, in and around Jerusalem, they have a plot. Their plan consists of two parts. One, make sure Jesus dies. Two, make sure he does not die at the Passover. God the Father also has a plan with two parts. One, make sure Jesus dies, and two, make sure he does die at the Passover. And that's what happens, because God is in control. God wants to make sure that you know Jesus is your Passover lamb, that his blood marks you, that permanent death passes over you, and that nothing happens in Jesus' life or in yours without the Father signing off on it. This is why Jesus is persistent in doing his Father's will. We also are persistent. Too often, however, it is in not doing our Father's will. In today's epistle, it begins, "Brothers," I'm skipping a little bit, "keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Why do you need to keep your eyes on those who are following Paul's example? Well, because many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ with their minds set on earthly things. Don't imitate people who are following their own cravings. Imitate the Christians who do what Paul did: live serving God and die trusting Jesus. That is the Christian life. But it is so easy for us to set our minds on earthly things. A lot of you work very hard at your jobs. Why? If it is to serve God and the people he places around you, good. That is the Christian life. But if it is to be noticed, to accumulate wealth, to make life more comfortable for yourself, then your mind is set on earthly things. And St. Paul says that that makes you an enemy of the cross of Christ. There's nothing wrong with earning an honest living. The question is, how are you going to use the money that your Lord gives to you through that job? Are you using it for God's purposes or for your purposes? When you give generously to your church and to charities, is it because you know that you are the way that God funds his work? That you are the way he cares for people around you? Or are you hoping to leave a legacy so that at your funeral people will gush about your goodness? That would be having your mind set on earthly things. And I have to confess, my mind is way too often set on earthly things. This is one of the reasons why it's a Christian tradition to give up something during Lent. Not just something you ought to be giving up all year. Give up something that is very dear to you so that you feel a loss. So that you learn not to set your mind on earthly things as if they're what you need in life. I've been talking this Lent about fasting and learning about its value. Fasting has always been a part of Christian living until just the last few decades. I urge you to try it. Set aside food, perhaps on Friday, the traditional day of Christian fasting, because it's the day Jesus died. Maybe set aside a whole day or a part of a day from sunup to sundown or from lunch one day to breakfast the next day. What's the point of fasting? So that we teach ourselves and our stomachs that will sometimes growl that our God is not our belly. So that we learn to focus not on earthly things, but on the heavenly one, on the Jesus who persists in setting his mind on us and our salvation. Which takes us back to the gospel. Nevertheless, Jesus says, "I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." Notice Jesus knows not only what's going to happen to him, he's going to die. He also knows when it's or where it's going to happen to him, in Jerusalem. Not in Perea, where those Pharisees are threatening that Herod's going to kill him, but in Jerusalem, where Herod doesn't even rule. So what does Jesus do, knowing that he'll die if he goes to Jerusalem? He goes to Jerusalem, not because he has a death wish, but because he has a you wish. He wants you with him for all eternity. And so he goes to where he will be crucified for you. He longs to save you every bit as much as he longs to save the people of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. You were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. Oh, Freeburg, oh, Smithton, oh, Belleville, oh, people all around. How often I would have gathered you into my church, but you resisted. You set your mind on the things of earth. Our minds turn from our Lord, but his mind is persistent in being set on us, on you and me. This is the point of Jesus talking about the hen and her brood. Both of my grandmas had hen houses. Maybe you grew up with hen house around too. I don't have any problem then picturing the story that I'm about to tell, which may be a true story. I'm not positive. Lightning hits a chicken coop, not unlike the ones that my grandmother's had, and it bursts into flames. Farmer seeks to douse the fire, but it is to no avail. The chicken coop burns down. And what do you suppose the farmer finds as he picks through the ashes? Don't say fried chicken. He flips over the carcass of a hen, and out from under that charred carcass run four little chicks alive. She had gathered her brood under her wings and allowed the fire to kill her so that it would not kill her chicks. Jesus figuratively gathers you and me under his wings and literally allows the fire of God's wrath to kill him instead of us. And now you and I can gather underneath his wings, confident that the flames will not take us because they have already consumed our Savior for us. He's that mother hen who persists in going to Jerusalem when any logical person would have written us off. He gives up his life to save our lives, which leads us also to be persistent. Jesus says at the very end of the gospel, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I believe he's talking about the day when he returns, and everyone says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember, as you wait for that day, what Paul said in the epistle, brothers, keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Don't imitate Christians who work to make money, to be noticed, to leave a legacy. Imitate Christians who live serving God and die trusting Jesus. There is the Christian life. A million years from now, as you or I look back across eternity from heaven or from hell, we will not give a rip whether we were remembered or rich or famous. We will care whether we persisted in faith. Perhaps that is why Paul says at the very end of the epistle, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, like Jeremiah did in the first reading today. Jeremiah was told by the people, quit preaching against our city. Quit telling us to repent. They threatened him with death. Jeremiah kept preaching that they should repent. The priests and his fellow prophets said, you need to stop saying things that offend the people, like that their city is going to be destroyed if they don't return to the Lord their God. But he keeps preaching. He is persistent. People are persistent in resisting, in ignoring him, in making his life miserable. But sure enough, in 586 BC, the Assyrian army comes and lays waste to the city of Jerusalem, just as was prophesied, because the people would not repent. Destruction is coming to our world today when Jesus returns. I've never been threatened with my life because I preached that we should repent. But if there should ever come a day when my government, my congregation, my district president were ever to say, Bruce, you need to stop saying things that offend people, even if it is in the Bible, I pray that my response will be the same as that of Jeremiah's. God, make me persistent in speaking your truth, because that's what your people need to hear. Jeremiah persisted in preaching the truth, and it cost him his friends, it cost him his livelihood, and almost cost him his life. But Jeremiah kept on. He was persistent because he knew what Paul knew, what you know, dear Christians. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Persist in faith. Persist in doing your Father's work, especially when you know that you are going to suffer for it, because you know your citizenship is in heaven. Remember, you are baptized. That's when you were given your citizenship papers. Confess your sins and rejoice in absolution. That is when Jesus persists in giving you the forgiveness he won at the cross. Celebrate the Scriptures. That is where Jesus persists in setting your mind on things above, on him and his salvation for you. Feast at his table. That is where Jesus persists in giving you his body, his blood, his self, and his salvation. Baptism, absolution, Scripture, and supper. There is where Jesus persists in gathering you and me under his wings and saving us. Be persistent, dear Christians. Live serving God, die trusting Jesus, because Jesus is persistent. On a yesterday, he died for you. Today, he lives for you. And in a not too distant tomorrow, he will return. He will finish his course, and he will take you to be where he is. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 192.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
You stand for prayer.
Trusting that our Lord will provide for our every need because of our persistent Savior, let us pray for the church, the world, community, and all people. Lord, your Son's desire is to gather all of us sinners under his saving wings, so prevent us from rebelling against you. Help us to be persistent in trusting Jesus and doing your work. Turn the hearts of unbelievers to faith. Give us courage and zeal to speak about Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, raise up godly men and women to serve in your church, people like St. Patrick who are persistent in love for those who live without the hope of heaven. Guide the leaders of our congregation. Give to them resources to serve you faithfully. Do the same for your people of St. Mark, St. Paul, Zion, and our Savior churches. Protect and give persistent faith to those who are being persecuted for doing your work. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, set apart men for the ministry, including some from our congregation. Use our seminaries to prepare ready servants for your people. Bless Eric, our seminarian. Strengthen for duty those of us who serve as pastors in your church. Send your angels to guard Dave and Luz Maria as they travel. And grant your Holy Spirit in special measure to missionaries and chaplains. Make everyone who serves in the office persistent, so that your people can live serving you and die trusting Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, give peace to this troubled world. Replace anger and hatred and strife with unity and goodwill. Come to the aid of those affected by the shooting in New Zealand, the storms in America, and all the difficulties of life. Teach them to trust you instead of false gods. Bless our president, our Congress, and judiciary. Lead them to walk in your ways, to protect the weak, to relieve the oppressed, and to defend your gift of life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless the schools of our church, our colleges, our seminaries, our universities. Make your word the center of all learning, and make each campus an oasis of fellowship for your people. Through learning, prepare people to serve you in their daily vocations. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, heal the sick, relieve the suffering, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Sustain Brenda, Kevin, David, Al, Daryl, Mel, Jeanette, Taylor, Darnell, Nina, Sharon, Matt, Charles, Larry, Devin, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, and Kathy. Fill them with hope and with a patience that relies on Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, heal our pride that distracts us and distances us from you. Accept the praises that we voice and the offerings we bring because we've been redeemed by Jesus. Use them to do your work. Lord, in your mercy. Guard us and your entire church, Lord, against heresy and apostasy. Help us to stand firm against every wind of doctrine and every whim of desire that we are so persistent in trusting. Instead, teach us to serve you. Keep Barb, Nick, Ashley, and Landon in baptismal faith. Do not let them go astray. Be with John and Marcia. Fill their relationship and every marriage with forgiving love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless our reception of Holy Communion this day so that we eat with faith and repentance by this blessed meal. Cleanse us from sin. Give us a longing for the day that we feast with you, with our sister Eva, with St. Patrick, and with all the faithful. Make us persistent in doing your work and preserve us until that day when we say with all the saints, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, trusting your mercy because of Christ's persistence to save us. We pray in his name. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Persistent. He has given to you his body, his blood, his peace. sinners slain. Make my heart your temple dwelling, purged from every guilty stain. Oh, forgive, forgive my sin. Cleanse me, Lord.
Thank you.
this great high priest in human flesh was icon of God's righteousness. His hallowed broad sanctity,
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.